the opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Watson in Baltimore territory. On the move. Shakes. Bakes. Sacked.
And fumble.
He lost the ball at the end of the play, and Baltimore's got it. Judon and Jalen Ferguson. Jackson, end zone, touchdown! Seth Roberts climbs the imaginary ladder. The Ravens strike first. Jackson, end zone, touchdown! A strike! Mark Andrews!
Second and 11.
Check it
to Ingram,
sideline. Touchdown, Ravens!
This is a second and four, play fake. Watson zigzags.
Oh, he just tossed it right to Josh Bynes. Interception for the Ravens.
Jackson, the spin and toss.
Ingram makes a man miss, diving! Touchdown!
Gus Edwards.
Big run! The Gus Bus goes all the way. Touchdown, Ravens.
Yeah, just didn't start well again. You know, didn't start well, didn't get off to a good rhythm, and I just need to do a better job for this team. I got to do a better job.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Oh, I miss the old we have to coach better Bill O'Brien. Hey, let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Raybould, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If he likes it, Aaron will read it on air. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, R-E-A-L, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. Know the number for that. And if you want, you can watch us on the Twitch channel and put your comments in the chat. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Texans sure didn't.
Yeah, that's one way to put it, right?
Yeah, you know, there's not a whole hell of a lot to say about that because they just sucked. There's no way around it.
They really did.
There was no positive. Usually I'll try to take a positive or two out of a performance. There was nothing. There was no positives. They were bad on offense. The defense was out there too much, and after the first quarter, they were bad on defense. They were lucky it wasn't worse than it was early, because Justin Tucker actually missed a field goal.
I know, crazy.
And then the fake field goal, they actually sniffed that out. It's like, hey, good job, guys.
Which, by the way, odd choice, if you ask me.
Yeah, just punt it there.
I mean, or just kick it.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed one. What are the odds he's going to miss two in a row? Has he ever missed two in a row in his life?
It was like 55, so I kind of get that, you know, all right, maybe try something there, but... They clearly had it defended. So, yeah, that was it. That was the highlight for the defense. And there was no highlight for the offense. I'm not going to count a garbage time touchdown run.
What?
Nope, sorry.
What about that time that the offensive line, they were able to hold the defense off for like 15 seconds while Deshaun Watson did the hokey pokey and ran in circles and turned himself around?
And that's
well, then he dropped the ball. But
oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Before that, it was really awesome.
So... It was it was pretty much, and you know, the offensive line was bad. Deshaun Watson held onto the ball too long. I mean, the one thing, the game plan was a mess. What did I talk about Friday would be the best way to attack this team if you're going to throw the ball? Tight ends, running backs, go after the linebackers, because linebackers are
soft.
That's the weak part of the defense. But no, let's go ahead and attack the strong part of the defense. And, boy, that didn't work out very well. And half the time, those guys were so covered that there was no place to go with the ball. I just thought from the very beginning, they just looked disjointed. They looked like they had a really bad plan, and they weren't able to execute that really bad plan. And the Ravens bent them over.
Yep.
So
I don't know. And I wish there was something you could say, well, okay, maybe Watson was hurt. No, wasn't really hurt. Maybe,
you know, I mean, we know what happened. This is probably hard for some people to hear. The better team just won.
Oh, yeah,
the better team won. The better coach won.
And right now the Ravens might be the best team in football.
They very well
They're
could
certainly
be.
In the conversation.
I
but
would,
that doesn't matter. You're still supposed to go in there and show something.
Yeah, I would say, you know, there's no shame in losing to that team, which there isn't shame in losing to that team. There is shame in how you lost.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes like, that's when it becomes from, oh, you know, we lost to a really good football team.
Yeah,
to,
but we put up a good fight like they did against the Saints.
To you didn't even show up.
Yeah, to, wow, that was just, and they haven't had one of those in a while. It reminded me of that, the Chiefs game in the playoffs that was 30-0.
Yeah.
Where, you know, basically that game, they took your soul in the first play. But this one, by the second quarter, you're just like, they're not coming back from this. There's no way.
No.
And now, how do you allow a team that barely gets any sacks to get to your quarterback six times?
I mean, they did to the Texans exactly what they did to the Bengals a week ago.
Yeah.
They made the Texans look like the Bengals.
I put Dolphins on them in my article.
I don't know that anybody's made the Dolphins week one against the Ravens was maybe the biggest mismatch of the whole football season.
Yeah.
But because at that point, nobody knew what the Dolphins really were. And I wish I could remember what I had a bet on the Ravens. I don't remember the exact number. I'll have to look it up. But I mean, you knew about 5 minutes into that game. Oh, well, that's done. There's zero chance the Dolphins are going to do this. But I mean, outside of that, there haven't been many games that have been more decisively won than that one was. I mean, that was a thumping.
Yeah, and
yeah, even, it was -7 is what I had.
Okay.
That made it.
But when the first quarter, when it's 0-0, I'm watching that game going, they're going to get blown out. They're just and they never made any adjustments. They never got anything right against them. And I know that the Ravens are going to put up points. Right now their offense is as good as anybody's in football. Lamar Jackson's playing great. And not just that, but his receivers were going up and making some great catches for him. Because we've talked about his accuracy can be a little off. And he had a few where he threw some really nice balls, but then he threw some that, hey, they went up and made a play on.
Yeah.
So guys were making plays for him, and you know, they look really, really good right now. I just can't find anything dependent on that the Texans didn't show up at all. You know, were they on the beach the whole time on their break?
I don't know. All I can say is they just got thumped by a better team. And when you really start to break down the Texans season, and so far, I mean, going into last week, they were 6-3. There was reason to be excited about it. And then what we saw yesterday makes you rethink really everything that you've seen so far. And you start to go back and say, okay, well, what are they really?
This is a game that makes you do that. And the reality is,
normally one game doesn't make you think about it. It doesn't make you change your mind about a team completely. And it's not like I think the Texans are, you know, what we saw yesterday. Like, they've got to be more than that. But
do they?
They were. I mean, going into yesterday, you kind of were looking at the Texans as, I mean, maybe borderline. Like, where did you have the Texans power rated?
Well, they were top 10.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to downgrade the hell out of them this week. And you should, because the reality is, in every other game, you can at least say they were in it, they had a chance, even against the Saints. And, you know, the Colts game probably wasn't as close as the score, but they were in with a chance. Well, they had no chance in this one.
No.
And they never did anything that made you think they had a chance. And
now,
I just think from, and I'm not going to blame the play calling, because I just think the entire offensive game plan was so flawed, it didn't matter what they did.
In their defense, I mean, the Ravens did basically the same thing to the Patriots. Patriots were never really in that game when they played the Ravens a couple weeks ago.
No, and that's the thing. The way the Ravens are playing right now, I mean, everybody's going to drop a turd every now and then. And hell, the Ravens lost to the Browns.
Man. But this one was just a big stinking pile.
Looking at the NFL power rankings right now, and these aren't, I haven't even made my adjustments for the week yet on mine. So this is from Sporting News. So these aren't like Vegas power rankings, but one, Baltimore, two, New England, three, San Francisco, four, New Orleans, five, Seattle, six, Green Bay, seven, Minnesota. Then, to me, there's like a massive drop-off from seven down to basically just a pile of mediocre teams. Because I do think the Vikings are good.
Yeah,
and I think coming back and winning that game that they did yesterday, which...
Boy.
Oh, man. You talk
they
about,
were getting Texaned in the
they
first
really
half.
They really were. But the fact that they were able to come back and win that, that makes me think that, okay, that team's for real. Number eight, Dallas. Number nine, Kansas City. Number 10, Houston. All these teams, we don't really know what they
are. Yeah, yeah.
11, Oakland.
See, that still feels high for me, but I mean, it is one game.
But
I
think about where these other teams are. 12, Colts. 13, Rams. So, mind you, 8, Dallas. 9, KC. 10, Houston. 11, Oakland. 12, Colts. 13, Rams. All those teams are 6-4. Exact same record. Number 14, Buffalo. 7-3, so they've got them rated behind every single 6-4 team. But hey,
Buffalo covered the spread yesterday.
They did the work. But yeah, I feel like the Texans are now in that pile of mediocrity. And are there teams in there that could burst out of it? Sure. I think Dallas is better than their record.
I think
Kansas City, when they're healthy, will be better than their record. The rest, though, I mean, are the Texans are they one of those teams that could burst out of it? I don't know. I'll say this. If the Texans lose to the Colts this weekend or on Thursday,
then it's falling apart.
I think that you're looking at a team probably missing the playoffs.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. But Blitzer for Life says no excuse, but all teams who play in London the week before and then the off week are 0-8.
But
And Lamont said it took you guys 2 or 3 days to recover from London. Maybe it's taking him 2 or 3 weeks.
Maybe so. Like, if you didn't get a bye week immediately after London, yeah, I would say differently. But
that to me is kind of, yeah. I mean, all right, 0-8 is 0-8, but that doesn't excuse you not even showing up. I mean, at least be competitive. Although, you know what? You know who else wasn't competitive yesterday? The Jaguars, who also were coming off a break like that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Talk Texans first segment, obviously. Brother Bear says, am I wrong thinking the Texans would be the Texans if they don't reach out to an offensive-minded head coach or pick the brain of a college guru?
They have an offensive-minded head coach. Yeah. He's a whisperer.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah. But they're just really they left themselves with almost no chance to win that football game. And let's not, it would have been completely different if they'd called the interference. Yeah, it would have been 41-14.
Yeah. And maybe it changes a little bit. But by the way, I mean... You know, I've been saying that, and I heard a lot of people saying, well, you've got a challenge to prove a point. I mean, at some point, how many timeouts are you going to burn trying to prove a point? These calls are being overturned a full season at about 10%. I think it's 12 out of 118 or something like that. So at what point do you say, they don't overturn them? So you can either keep doing it and keep burning these timeouts, or where we're at today in like an analytics-driven society, you can say, 10% ain't great. Is it worth me risking a timeout? And then you know, the NFL, I mean, it looks bad on the NFL when things like that happen, when calls like that get missed. It looks bad. But losing a timeout doesn't make it, you know, doesn't help you put points on the board, because clearly they just don't care. So I'm team stop challenging PI either way, because the chances that they're going to overturn it are too slim to even risk timeouts.
Well, I think it depends on the situation. And in that case, especially on a fourth down play, it's the first half. The timeout's not going to be that valuable.
Except you burned up your other one, like, on some dumb stuff. I mean, you went, and at the end of the game, like you said, it's a 34-point game, so that timeout is meaningless. But at the time, in a tight game, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it at all. I mean, I think...
I only had a problem with it because I knew it was going to happen.
Well, yeah. The problem is, though, when you have one that's that obvious, at some point the NFL's got to do something about the rule. Because right now, it doesn't exist. They put in a rule to challenge pass interference. And you mentioned the numbers. It doesn't exist. They don't overturn it.
Oh, so, they did two. They overturned two of them later in the day.
Yeah.
One in the Jets game, one in the Cardinals game.
That's probably because that they saw that one and said, oh, boy, we're going to look stupid if we don't do this.
But it's the same guy doing it all.
Well, he probably knew he looked stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bad look, certainly. And I understand the frustration, but I don't know, man. You're just – nobody's winning these things. So at some point, you just stop banging your head into the wall.
Well, I mean, I have no problem with the challenger. I think it was the right thing to do. And because, I mean, again, if you're going to overturn one, isn't that going to be the one?
You would think.
And so I don't blame them for that.
It wasn't quite Saints Rams NFC championship
but
level.
It was bad enough. It was that blatant there was no way you could catch the ball.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I don't like the whole ball at the 1 yard line. I think pass interference is way too punitive.
Well, that's a whole different rule. There's a lot of penalties there. Yeah. Holding is too punitive.
But that's, you know, that's a different argument for a different day. But I had no problem with them doing that, but it didn't. I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, that didn't change the game. And would it have been nice to get up 7-0? Yeah. Would it have been nice if Fairbairn had hit a field goal at the end of the half?
They have to fire him, Fred. It's so overlooked because it was a blowout game. He's now missed 10 kicks this year. 10 kicks, 5 field goals, 5 extra points. You've got to fire that guy.
Is that good?
No, that's not good.
No, he's a pet, though. That's the problem. He's one of O'Brien's pets.
He must be a really hard worker in practice.
Exactly. He's a hell of a practice machine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not the math expert here, but they've played 10 games. Does that mean he's missed, on average, one per game?
One kick per game on average. You are pretty good at math. That's pretty good.
It hasn't come back to bite him yet, but it's going to.
Wow.
And that's – and why he's – that they're not even looking at other guys –
I mean, the Colts, they brought in like 25 guys to practice this last week. And we're like, I think it was kind of telling Adam Vinatieri without telling him, hey, it's your last chance. And he came out and kicked and didn't miss anything. But there needs to be some kind of fire on that dude's feet, because you cannot miss that many kicks over the course of a season. It'll cost you eventually.
It will. And they've been fortunate that it hasn't yet. And it didn't matter at all yesterday, but it could have.
Yeah.
Well, no, it couldn't have mattered yesterday. There was no chance. So, Ashok says, the 0-8 teams after London, 8 of 8 did not cover the spread, 6 of 8 lost by 2 possessions or more, 7 of 8 did not hit season average in offensive yards. Where were all these stats before they played this week?
Yeah, I mean,
because then I would have, you know, then I would have definitely bet on the Ravens. But, yeah, I mean, and that's all fine, but again, Where's the positive in anything that they did yesterday?
I got nothing.
I don't either. And that's the thing that bothers me. It's been a long time since...
I mean, how many rushing yards did they give up? 263.
Yeah, and
that's embarrassing.
Well, and that's the thing. When you start looking at the time of possession was ridiculous. The rushing yards was ridiculous. And the fact that the Texans were 2 of 9 on third down and 1 of 4 on fourth down.
Yeah.
2 of 10, excuse me. I there was one there at the end.
The early Deshaun Watson stuff, and well, I guess as the game went on, it didn't get much better. But the play that he fumbled on, that's old Deshaun. That's the guy that...
Well, the interception, too. That was just stupid.
We'd stopped... We were saying, dude, if this is what he is, there's a ceiling on him. And then over about a 3 or 4 week span, he cut all that nonsense out. You know, he got rid of the ball quicker. And yesterday he went back to, I'm going to hold the ball until something, you know, something. I don't know what he's waiting for to happen until the cookies are done. I'm not sure. But he was holding on to the ball forever.
And I think it was almost a bad thing that against the Jaguars, all of his escape plans worked.
Yeah.
Because he was trying it again yesterday, and it was okay. And the Ravens,
well, it's almost like they've turned that into the game plan. That's what it seemed like yesterday. Is like, that's the game plan, is if Deshaun gets in trouble, well, he's not going to get rid of the ball. He'll just spin around and, you know, jump over people and do that until you know, he makes something happen. When he does that, that's great, but you can't go in thinking that's going to be your offense. It can't, that's not realistic.
Well, I mean...
And by the way, one more other thing about that game that's frustrating. What happens if Deshaun gets hurt in the fourth quarter? In a game that's already well out of range?
That's something I mentioned. With 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter when it's 34 to nothing, what is he doing in the game? You got a Thursday night game. You know, it's time to play. He finally took him out with 3 minutes left.
I guess you wanted to get that seven on the board to feel better about yourself.
And when somebody asked him about it after the game yesterday, he said, oh, no, the time to take him out was when it was 41, when they scored their 41st point. Really?
No.
Dude, come on. That's the old Bill O'Brien.
Well, he thought that they were going to get 35 in the fourth quarter. He knew they couldn't get 42.
Yeah.
But he thought they'd probably get 35.
Yeah, I just think he's got things in his head sometimes.
They're called rocks.
Well, and especially when it comes to when to bench players, because that at that point, you got to get him out of there. And he took a big-ass hit, too, while he was out there. And it's like, really? And even the announcers were saying that. And, you know, those guys usually are tools. So, hey, we'll talk about some betting in a little bit, but on a pretty good run right now. And you know where it's all at? Mybookie.ag. And the cool thing is, I hit a bunch of college games. Hit my one NFL play big yesterday, and I did it all at MyBookie. And if you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit, up to $1,000. And they've got all kinds of great deposit options for you, so make sure you check it out and pick out the best one for you. But use promo code RADIO, and you'll get your exclusive double your money offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. The other cool thing is when you win, you get paid. They don't mess around. And a lot of these websites, it's such a hassle to get your money out. That's not the case with MyBookie. Nobody pays out faster. Also, if you get home late and you miss the start of the game, they've got in-game wagering, and there's so many options with that. They give you every opportunity to play the games. And whatever you're into, whatever sport, you want to bet hockey, you want to bet the NBA, they got you covered. Promo code RADIO right now to get that exclusive Double Your Money offer. Play, win, get paid, MyBookie.
With the base, I used to save, put a mask in a cave. Now I'm like, nah, love, I'm good, go away. Ain't about to die with no money I done gave you. I was on top when it meant a lot.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take some phone calls. And... Julian says, do you think Deshaun was trying to do too much because of all the MVP hype between him and Jackson? It wouldn't shock me. I mean, I don't know that that's the case, but it certainly wouldn't shock me if he was... Because he looked like he was trying to do too much from the very beginning. And this just in, Lamar Jackson's really good right now. Smogger asks, wonder how much Saban wishes Jalen Hurts was still on the roster. Boy, we'll get to some college here. That was a hell of a comeback. I do think people trying to call that a Heisman moment for Jalen Hurts probably forgot that Jose Burrow is alive. But, and it was Baylor. It was, but the Tua injury was bad. Talk about why was a quarterback in the game at that point. I didn't even think they'd play him this week because they didn't really need him. He was limping around after last week. You want to give the guy some time to heal. And yeah, the hip injury is not directly related to the ankle injury, but. The Tua that we've seen at his best, he gets away from those guys. Or at least, you know, he just didn't have the mobility. But tough injury. But I don't think it's going to matter because they're either going to get the four spot or they're not. I don't think they're losing the rest of the way, no matter who's playing quarterback.
This is interesting to me. Bernardo says, I don't think the rushing yards is a big deal. Nobody's held them under 200 per game, not even the great Patriots. Well, the difference was, on top of all those rushing yards, Lamar Jackson had almost the most... It's not the most efficient game he had this year because he played the Dolphins and the Bengals.
Yeah.
But besides those two games, it was the most efficient game he's played all year. And if you're going to give up 200-and-something rushing yards, 260-something rushing yards, you can't also give up four passing touchdowns on top of it. There's nothing you can say about that defense yesterday that is positive, in my opinion. Not one person there is without blame. And on top of it, the injuries continue to pile up for those guys.
Yeah, that was part of the problem. But again, and the fact that their offense was three and out. I can at least see why it got out of hand on the defensive side. But it's just the same thing. They weren't very prepared for what they were doing, and I don't have a problem necessarily with saying, okay, make this guy beat you through the air. Well, defend it. Yeah. If that's your plan. And once he started doing that, then they didn't stop the run either, which is something they've done pretty well all season. And yeah, it was just it just snowballed. Again, there's nothing you can take away from that and say, this is a positive. Rocky says, apparently I'm a bandwagon fan because I've always called O'Brien trash, along with their DBs and O-line. No, the O-line did not play well yesterday, but that particular group has been light years better than what they've had in the past. I'm willing to excuse them a little bit, and their quarterback didn't help them, and neither did their head coach. I just think the whole game plan was flawed, and when that's the case, you're going to look bad. And the DBs, they've got so many injuries back there. When Jonathan Joseph had to trot back on the field, you're like, ugh. This it was already over by then.
Well, so what do you do going forward? What's the rest of this season look like? Do you think that this is a are we looking at a complete disaster here? Or was this just a blip on the radar?
I hope it was just a blip on the radar. To me, the Thursday night game is going to wind up meaning more anyway, because if you're going to win the division, you have to win this game. And if you lose, you're probably missing the playoffs. Because you got the Patriots on deck after that. And I think in the end, we're looking at what we thought kind of 9-7 at best, sort of mid-level playoff team that's going to get a home game if they win the division that they might win depending on who comes in. And then that's as far as they go. But for that to happen, you better win Thursday night. And it's easy to overreact to both how they played and how the Colts played. So I'm not going to do that. But I also know how Frank Reich teams have looked against Bill O'Brien teams.
Yeah.
In the 2 years that Reich has been there.
He's been better.
He has bent Bill O'Brien over repeatedly. So, I have no confidence in them going into Thursday night. Usually that's when they show up and win. Because I thought they'd stay within a touchdown against the Ravens because Deshaun Watson had done it his whole career. Till yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I have no clue what the Texans are. And I should... Because we watch these guys every week. We have to talk about them every week. I feel like I have a better feel on almost every team in the NFL other than the Texans.
I'm trying to think of some teams that I feel like I have no idea what I'm doing with them. Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina. Well,
in Jacksonville.
And let's throw Atlanta in there now, too.
Yeah. Because
those guys they're what I thought they would be at the beginning of the season.
I've won with Atlanta the last couple weeks, so. But it's funny. I don't know what the Texans are either. I assume they're, I still think they're a playoff ish team.
Yeah,
but if they lose on Thursday, I don't know if they're that.
This guy always says this. You guys have overhyped and overrated Deshaun.
Believe that.
No, I think that's you don't like the guy. I get it, but. We weren't the only ones. The guy was third in the MVP wagering a week ago. So, and you know what? I think he's going to bounce back. Everybody has a bad game.
Yeah.
But know, as far as that goes, I think you're wrong about that. And you might just let it go because you text that in every time they lose.
Albert says, how'd you guys do this weekend on your wagers? Did that Niners game give you the win or push? I bought the half point, was on Niners -9.5. Stupid, but I got lucky. But didn't NFL mess up? I thought you had to kick the EP after all touchdowns, right or wrong. That rule changed last year. So if you've got a game-winning touchdown, you don't kick the extra point anymore. I had 11 because I bought the Cardinals early in the week. Unfortunately for our game with RJ, I had 10. So I pushed, which might as well have been a loss because Fred, Fezzik, RJ, and Brad all won. So we were, which is a good thing. Our best bets were 4-0-1.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
If you
listen to the show Friday, you went 4-0-1.
Unfortunately, I was the one.
And it was an absolute fluke. And if you
watch that game, you feel, I mean, the Cardinals damn near could have won that game.
Yeah. And if you had the 49ers, then
you should feel lucky.
You go put a little extra in your collection plate at church on Sunday because your prayers got answered. That was a total whack job. And you see that every now and then. But the fact is they were winning the game right up until it was that's a total moose if you were on the wrong end of it. But but for everybody who's on the wrong end, there's somebody who's happy. And if you're happy, then pat yourself on the back and don't expect it to happen again. You're not going to win a lot like that. But Adam says, did Lamar Jackson with John Harbaugh remind you of Cap with Jim Harbaugh?
Colin Kaepernick was never this.
No.
I mean, this is and we saw a lot of it early in the game, especially the things that I've always said that I'm not crazy about with Lamar Jackson. I mean, he overthrows a bunch of guys and he's just not a very accurate passer. But
they don't ask him don't ask him to make hard passes.
He's just such a freakish athlete that at the end of the day he can still be great despite having that glaring flaw in his game.
Well, and the threat of him being able to run gives him more room to throw the football, which is big.
And he's not like Deshaun can run. Okay. There's a lot of quarterbacks who can run. Andrew Luck could run. Lamar is like a track guy. I mean, he's got game breaking speed.
He's a running back playing quarterback.
Yeah. He's not a good runner for a quarterback. He's a good runner. And that is just a different it's a different set of problems for NFL teams to deal with. I mean, he's onto something.
It's funny, these trolls who wait for Deshaun to lose so they can say he's overrated, but Breeze, Rodgers, and Wilson, if they lose, it's just a bad game. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. You got a group here that just doesn't like the guy. And, I'm not saying that they're all the superintendents from that school that wrote on Facebook, but, there's some of that going on, too.
Lamont says, do you guys think Jimmy Garoppolo is deserving of his contract right now? I've been saying all year long, the 49ers are winning in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo. That guy is a turnover machine. And because they're well coached and because they're great on defense, it hasn't really mattered. It's starting to matter.
It's going to matter if you're going to try to beat a team like the Seahawks in the playoffs or the Packers or the Vikings or even the Cowboys. You're going to have to get more out of him.
Which, by the way, I'll throw out a pro tip right now before you lose the number. Like, I already lost it. I wanted Dallas +7. I already missed that. I didn't miss Packers +3 against the Niners. I don't think the Niners are going to keep up. I think the Niners, you're starting to see some chinks in the armor. I think the Packers may roll on those guys.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at anything yet. I do like the Chiefs tonight still, even though that number's gone up a little more than I'd like, but it's still inside a touchdown. And
that's such a scary game to me, just based on what Phillip Rivers has done in the past, what the Chargers have really done in the past. Like, this is where they start to get it,
I'm kind of interested to see how it goes in Mexico too.
Yeah,
I mean that's I assume that the field was good enough for them to actually play. So
well, and I always wonder how elevation affects teams that use tempo as a weapon. I mean, it's got to affect them as much as it does the slow teams, right?
You would think,
because the Chargers are the slowest team. They've They're always slow. We talk about it pretty much every week. I don't think they're going to gas themselves out. At least on offense, they're not. I wonder if the offensive players, especially because a lot of them have missed time this year, they're probably not at 100% tip-top game shape. Do they get tired?
Maybe. Although it worries me less that these two teams play in Denver every year.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same because I think it's another 2,000 feet in Azteca. But it's still, you know, you at least have done that enough to where it's not gonna catch you by surprise.
Yo, I love the hoop I've got outside my house now from ProDunkHoops.com, and it's really unbelievable. Unfortunately, there is a downside to it. All the kids in the neighborhood just come over now, and sometimes even if we're not home, our cameras will alert us that there's people playing at our house, and it's like, oh geez. But it's just a really great system. It's so simple for my youngest son's 7. He can't really play on the 10-foot goal, at least not well. So he can take it down himself. 7-year-old can take it down himself. Then the 12-year-old gets out there. He wants to play on the big boy's goal. He can rock it right back there up to 10 feet. Turn of a handle. And, guys, it's going to last thick as steel of any goal on the market. A tempered glass backboard. So strong to guarantee if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. It's amazing. I love it. You're going to love it. Your kids will love it. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com,
281-351-9822.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. The answer to the other part of Albert's question is, how do we do this weekend on our wagers? It's 4-1 on college football. Hit my NFL play yesterday with the Bills, which was my big play of the weekend. And I'm on a 7-1 run on my pregame picks.
Nice.
Which is pretty good because I dug myself a little hole with a 3-week stretch there that was just pretty bad. But I'm on the Chiefs tonight as well. That's the one that I'm hoping for. But I had and there were some games that I had that were not exactly high profile.
They all pay the same.
New Mexico State -8.5 against Incarnate Word. That was one of them. And Temple, I had, I think, +6 against Tulane, and I had them money line. And the over on Ohio State, which we talked about last week, which thanks to Rutgers for getting it over.
Yeah.
But because the spread was, 52.5, and the total was only 61. And to me, it's like, boy, if you get one touchdown out of Rutgers, you're going over. And, Ohio State looks so good. I know Rutgers is garbage. But they're just so much fun to watch. And I haven't checked the number yet on what they are against Penn State, but I'll probably bet it.
I was...
You didn't go heavy on college this week.
I didn't, but I still had a crappy Saturday somehow because that was my first... It was my worst, one of my worst college basketball days of the year, but I went 4-6 on Saturday. Luckily, Friday... I was 6-0, nice. And then yesterday I was 7-1. So I just sandwiched my mediocre day in between two badass days, and it makes for a good weekend overall. I'll take it every time.
Rutgers is sitting at +20.5.
Ooh, I still might take Ohio State. Rutgers? You mean Penn State? Yep.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I thought you were looking at Rutgers, Michigan State.
No, I'm looking at Ohio State, Penn State. Ohio State -18 is what it's at right now. Mm.
I was disappointed in Ohio State this week. I mean, I can't believe they let Rutgers score so many points, honestly.
They benched everybody at
halftime. But still, I mean, you're still...
Yeah,
they didn't even cover the first half line.
Nope, they didn't, but they went over. That's all I cared about. Thanks to Rutgers. That was... I was glad to see that. Good job, Rutgers.
I'm telling you, man, there's some of these teams, the more I watch them... I think Georgia can play with these guys. Georgia can play. Georgia is going to give LSU a handful because LSU's not stopping really anybody, but Georgia is good enough on defense to make some stops against LSU, and it's going to cause problems. That's why I worry about LSU in the grand scheme, because all the other teams that look like they're going to make the playoffs, the one team that I'll leave out as an exception because they still have an outside shot at the playoffs, I don't think they'll make it, but Oklahoma, all the rest of the teams that are in consideration for the playoffs at this point play defense. Ohio State plays defense. Clemson plays elite defense. Georgia plays defense. Utah plays defense. Oregon plays defense. It worries me for LSU, and I'm not counting Alabama anymore. They don't play defense, but they're out of it. Yeah, they're done. Which is something else we need to get into. Speaking of leaving your quarterback in or playing your quarterback when you shouldn't be playing him.
Yeah, I mentioned that a little earlier. I don't think he should have been in the game at that point. I still think there's a path for them, but it's a long shot at this point. They're going to need Oklahoma to lose. They're going to need Georgia to lose to LSU.
I don't see it happening. I don't really see a way they get in because I don't think anybody will take them seriously without Tua.
I think if they hammer Auburn without him, then.
But you know what? How good of a win is Auburn at this point?
Well, Auburn is A&M. I mean, they're a good team. They're not good enough to compete with the top level teams. They're going to lose those games. And they hang around. They're more competitive than A&M, but they don't beat those teams.
Yeah, they're the prime example of they're good. They're just not good enough to play with the best teams. And
they hang around those games. They played LSU close.
They did.
And they're just not good enough.
But now, even before Alabama gets to play them, Auburn's going to be a three-loss team. And that would be Alabama's premier win. That's their premium win, would be over a three-loss, 8-3.
Well, 8-4 is what they do.
Well, 8-4. That's your premium win of the year?
Guess what? That's your case for Oregon, right? Is that they barely lost to Auburn. They should have won that game. If Alabama beats them by 30 with a backup quarterback,
Oregon would have a win over Utah at that point. Oregon won at Washington. Oregon won at USC.
How good a win is USC right now?
Well, it helps that they won this week, certainly. And I'll tell you what, a win over Utah is a legit win if they were able to get that. So, and they would have a conference championship. I just don't see a way that I can't picture Alabama getting in now.
I'm going to stand by what I said last week.
What percentage are you giving them?
I still think there's about an 8% chance they get in. Maybe 10%.
I think it's way lower than that.
I also think when you look at what the committee likes, they love them some Alabama. They love them some Ohio State, and they love them some Oklahoma. So they're going to need Oklahoma to not be in that mix. But I would almost be willing to bet money that they'd put Alabama in over one loss Utah.
Oh, I'd be shocked at that. And by the way, if Oklahoma gets in over a one loss Utah team, it's criminal. Oklahoma is not good. They're not good. And I'm telling you now, you're going to look at their resume at the end of the year and you're going to go, oh, that's it? I mean, if you've watched the last 3 weeks of Oklahoma football, you can't tell me that team is a championship contender. They got thumped by Kansas State,
yeah.
who, by the way, just lost to West Virginia.
That loss looks better and better every week.
Yeah, could have easily lost to Iowa State. They're a two-point conversion away from losing to Iowa State. And they come back and beat Baylor by 3 points after they were getting their doors blown off by a Baylor team that's not that good either. Oklahoma is not legit. I don't see it. I don't believe it. And, I mean, I don't see anything that they've done on their resume that makes me go, you know what? These guys could play with the elite of the elite. I mean, hell, they beat Texas by one possession. That doesn't impress me. You know?
What do you mean? Texas is a legitimate 5-4 type team.
No, they're a legitimate Chick-fil-A Bowl team or something, or you know, Music City Bowl.
They're going to wind up here against Aggie.
They might, but yeah, I don't believe in Oklahoma. And I hope Baylor beats Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship so we don't have to talk about it. The Big 12 is not good enough to warrant a playoff team this year.
Oklahoma's still got to play Oklahoma State, who's playing better football. I don't think
they've got to play TCU.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Although TCU on the road. But Oklahoma State, that's at Stillwater. That's a legit threat. And I'm telling you, this Oklahoma team is that vulnerable. They could easily lose that game.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, Oklahoma State's got one of the best running backs in the country, and they got that freshman quarterback has been hit and miss, but he's starting to find his stride. That's not a gimme for Oklahoma. If they can go in and lose to Kansas State, they can damn sure lose to Oklahoma State.
All right. Guys, I'm going to tell you about what's going on at Carbox. Sunday, November 24th at noon, the Game Changer Disc Golf Tournament. Grab a buddy. Join Carbock for a disc golf tournament at Agnes Moffitt's Park in Spring Branch. Registration begins at noon. Tournament starts at 1. There's a shotgun start, double scramble play, and closest to the pin contest. It's $20 entry, which includes a Game Changer Innova DX Destroyer disc, refreshments, and prizes for the winners. Get tickets today at carbockbrewing.com. And, guys, get out to that restaurant. Get out to that bar. I ate out there last week. The meal was fantastic. The beer was just amazing, and there's a lot of beer you're going to be able to get there that you can't find anywhere else in the city. Brewery only, good stuff to get out there and try, and it all pairs perfectly with the food that they've got on the menu. Follow Carbock on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbock beer today, or when you're out and about this week, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbock.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.